My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home, the things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed form. And the things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember them will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Wow. Okay. The strangest thing I've ever, well, probably I've seen a lot of strange things, so I don't want to say it's the strangest thing, but this is weird. The president's pastor, Paula White, back in the news again and weirder than ever. I'm telling you, these people, these charismatics got devils in them the size of Goliath.
Always a female known as a queen bee. She's the leader of the bee family, is always a female known as a queen bee. She's the only female that is fertile. Deborah, you're a queen bee. Come on. But here's what's so important. She is known for her dance. She is known for her dance. And it's not like some cute little, you know, this kind of dance. It's not that, this kind of dance. She's known for her dance because when she gets ready to notify in the hive of a new source of food, she will perform a dance by vibrating her wings. Her wings are going into this like almost uncontrollable vibration and the moving of her body around. And the dance starts to communicate how far and in what direction the food is. She's the queen bee, and it's uphill against the wind. It will require more energy. So what she starts doing at the amount of food, there is great dance. The dance will last longer, and it'll be more enthusiastic. So what she starts doing, the longer the dance, the more bees she gets aroused. So queen bee starts going into this frenzy, and she starts going around and around and around, and she goes into vibrations until all the bees get activated, and all the bees start going forth, and she leads the way by stirring something up. I dare you, Deb. Deborah. Come on, stir it up right now in the name of Jesus. Stir up faith in others. Stir it up. Do you think I was ashamed to stand on the lawn of the White House in front of the president, the vice president, the FLOTUS, the nation, the press, and declare in the name of Jesus, I declare right now an end to this COVID-19. What good am I if I pray some cute little prayer? What good am I if I have some fancy little poem or just talk about the problem? Everybody knows the problem, but who's going to come forth with the solution? Stir them up. Stir them up. Come on, Deborah, stir them up right now. Stir them up. There's a whole lot of food. There's revelation. Some people are eating ass's head and dove's dung. Come on. Where's my Deborah? Where's my Deborah?
Okay. Well, wow. I'm telling you, man, these charismatic people get nuttier and nuttier as they go, man. I'm telling you, you can just see the devils come out of them. You just see, they manifest. They can't help it. They can only hold it together so long before those devils just come straight out of the gate, man. Unbelievable. She's sitting there preaching this. That's what she calls it anyway. She's sitting there preaching this. Right? And this is the president's pastor. That shows you the perverse spirit that she has. And by the way, when she's there, when she's up there doing what she's doing there, she's telling you that, hey, that she is part of the, you know, the White House team and all that, and that her little dance, her little queen bee dance is her way of saying that she's in charge of that show. That's the spirit. Right? That's the spirit that's over that White House. It's that Jezebel spirit that's there, among others, for sure, that are there. So, I mean, you know, when you understand what's going on with all this, you kind of get, these people are antichrist to the core. And it's unreal. It's hard for me to believe that anyone takes the charismatic movement, even anybody that's aligned with the charismatic movement, how anybody can take those people as serious. Anybody at all, how they can do that. It just, to me, it baffles the mind that anyone can take them serious. Unbelievable. You know, but anyway, so that's part of Antichrist news. I mean, I think it's important when we're talking about this, the Antichrist orders, the Antichrist spirit that's all over all of this going on. Now you have churches that are starting to defy the resistance orders, the orders of the governors. Now, as I watch the way that I know she talked about the arousing others. Yeah, the queen bee arousing others. But we all know that the charismatic movement, all right, we all understand the charismatic movement is a mixture, right? It is a mixture of a perverse spirit. That perverse spirit leads them to do perverse things. leads to spiritual fornication, leads to physical fornication. We'll get into some of that a little bit later here. Maybe not today, but some other time. Let me say hi to everybody. Did everybody have a good weekend this weekend? Everybody doing okay out there? I hope you did. I hope you saw the video on Saturday night. Saturday night I did a video while I was driving. So, looks like you did. About 1,000 people watched that video. So, looks like everybody was on there, or a number of you got on there later and watched those. So, that's good. But, so, that was good. But, I hope you all had, good weekend there, Cindy Nelson. Cindy, I almost came down for a vehicle near you. Well, not near you, I guess. It would have been Arizona. That's more near you than where I am now. But I drove to Oklahoma instead. The one that was out in Arizona, I was going to go see Vanessa and Efrey. Or maybe he goes by Efrey. Brother Efrey. But, you know, it didn't work out, but he checked one out for me, and I appreciate him. And someday I'll get out there, out west there, and I'll get to see all of you out there that are out there. I'd like to meet up with a bunch of you out there and say hi, Cindy and Troy and Vanessa and Efrey, I think it is, if I say it right. But, anyway, so we'll see about that when that comes up. Let's see. Yep, I didn't go there, though. I went to Oklahoma instead. I found a vehicle in Oklahoma. So I bought one there and traveled all the way over. Let's see. I was in Oklahoma City. My son and I, we got a hotel for the night there. And we went on a road trip Friday. And we left Friday at noon. Made it by, I think it was midnight, 12:30. It was like 12:30, 12:40. We made it to Oklahoma City. Got a hotel room. Got up. Checked out the vehicle, checked out the Jeep, looked good, bought it, and took back off for home. And we had a long drive ahead of us. And got back home around, I think it was 10:30. So we made good time on the way home. But anyway, so we got to go there and check out a bunch of things and all that fun stuff, and, well, we didn't check out too many things. We're driving the whole time, but me and him had a good time talking about everything and enjoying some father-son time there. So that was a blessing, and somebody asked how the Jeep's running. It's running pretty good. It's a 8-year-old one, so I didn't buy a new one. Like somebody said, oh, look at that pastor buying a new car. Everybody says that. It's like I'm supposed to drive around something that barely moves when it gets like 50 below here in Minnesota, and I'm supposed to like drive something around that's going to stink and kill me or something. It's just so goofy. People are so immature. It's just unbelievable how immature people are. So weird. Weird people, man. But anyway, yeah, I don't know why it's glitching. This camera glitches. I got to get my old one back. This one doesn't work. But it just glitches all the time. Yeah, so a lot of driving, but we were okay. So praise the Lord for that. But anyway, we had a good time and all that good stuff. Yep, praise the Lord for his safety. That's a lot of driving, and the Lord kept us safe. Boy, the roads were dead, though. They were really dead. It's unbelievable how dead they were. Not a lot of people out there. Hi, Pam. Hope you're doing well. So anyway, so we got to do that and got to enjoy some father-son time. Got to go eat some Joe's Barbecue. Remember I told you that? I said if you get down there. I had to order it on the phone. I'm telling you, it was crazy stuff. That place was swamped, all three locations. But I found... Nope, Cindy, I didn't have to wear gloves or masks anywhere. Nowhere. Nowhere at all. So I went to this one. I'd never been to this one before. So, went to this one right here. And it was relatively empty. The other ones, you couldn't even call. They were busy the whole time. The phone was busy the whole time. Couldn't even get through to anybody. So that didn't work. So we finally got a hold of this one, and we went like 10 minutes out of our way. And Lucius and I got to eat some barbecue. So it was good. We enjoyed that. Had a good time. So stopped off there, and everybody, a lot of people had masks on everywhere we went, except us. We didn't have any on. Yeah. So we were fine. There wasn't nothing going on. There was no requirement to go in. We didn't have any special requirements anywhere. Not a ton of cars out there. It was kind of quiet. So, it was good, though. We had fun. And we handled the road trip well, so it was good. Well, you know, back to this crazy news going on here. You know, back to this crazy stuff. Crazy COVID. Crazy COVID days, right? How's everybody doing out there? You all doing okay out there? Everybody staying healthy? Everybody being safe out there? All right, let's see here. Let me see here. Hang on a second. I'm just... Good. Glad you're doing good. Man, I feel like I haven't talked to anybody on here forever. Let me say hi to everybody here. Pilgrim Lady, hello. Number one. She got on first. Carl Winters. Mary, Therese, Jacob Terry, my wonderful wife, Big Whale, Big Whale, yep, Rachel's on there, Julia Arambula, where are you from, Julia Arambula? I don't think I recognize that, your name, Richard Wood. I don't know who, Richard, I don't know if I know you. John Hippie from greetings from Winona, Minnesota. Proverbs 31 woman. My dad's on here somewhere. I don't know where he's at. Let's see. Somebody asked me, have you heard of the clergy response teams? Yes, I have. And I'm sure that none of them like me. Andrea, we came through Iowa, but we did not get close to you all. We were in Des Moines. We went to Des Moines. I come back through from KC to Des Moines. Went that way. Janine Stowe. Joe McDonald. Igor. Cindy Nelson. Aaron. Nikita. No one likes women preachers. They're annoying. Kayla. Things are getting back to normal. In Alberta, says Mary Wiebe. Hope you're doing well. Kirion Wilson. Pam's in Nevada these days, huh? Where are you at, Piper's Fund in Iowa? All right. Well, good deal. Good deal. Everybody got the gang all here. Now, let's get into some weird stuff here. Oh, near Ames, Iowa. Is that near Des Moines? That's by Des Moines, isn't it? I think. I like Iowa, but I had no time for an Iowa pork tenderloin because I already ate at KC, so I didn't want to get anything else. We were stuffed. But anyway, we did have a safe trip, and I rented this car. It literally cost me $35 for this car. It was like $38 altogether with tax for this car. It got 40 miles the gallon down there. I couldn't believe it. It got 40 miles to the gallon. I could not believe it did that well. It was unbelievable. Lisa, hope you're doing well. All right. Let's see here. Where am I going to go right now? Well, here's something weird and stupid I could show you. Here you go. Detroit priest squirts holy water from toy gun to maintain social distancing. A Roman Catholic priest in the Detroit area has taken aim at his parishioners in a bid to maintain social distancing during the coronavirus pandemic, using a squirt gun to shoot holy water. Wow. Kirion Wilson asked me, what brand of car? I bought a Jeep, a 2012 Jeep. A Jeep Wrangler. A manual Jeep Wrangler. That's what I bought. Photos posted on social media by the St. Ambrose Church show the Reverend Timothy Pelk shooting water into a car window as it stopped by the steps of the church. He wore a mask, a face shield, and rubber gloves as further precautions against spreading the coronavirus. The photos of the priests of the church in Grosse Pointe Park were taken at Easter, but have really gone recently gone viral and have inspired memes online. One shows the 70-year-old priest amid the fires of hell directing the squirt gun at devil-like figures. Okay, so seriously, here's what you have. You have priest taking a super soaker. That's a cheap dollar store one. Reminds me of the one that I used to... It reminds me of a dollar store Nerf gun I used to have that I used to take those darts and I used to shoot somebody with those darts. Some of you know exactly who I'm talking about. Boy, would I make them mad. And no matter what they did, I would be able to get them and shoot that dart right between their eyes. Oh, that's funny right there. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Too funny right there. Anyway, well, that's... Okay, holy water. I mean, think about how there's absolutely no biblical sense to this at all whatsoever. Yet, people accept holy water as something that is, and all it is witchcraft. It's Antichrist. That's all it is. It's just Antichrist. And then you have the charismatic Pastor Rodney Brown. Everybody remembers the Nerf gun. Rodney Howard Brown, one of the very first pastors arrested and charged for violating the stay-at-home orders for having in-person church, has had all charges against him dropped, according to the Liberty Council statement. The biblically illiterate and heretical pastor was taken into custody March 30th after the sheriff said the church violated a countrywide, countywide safer-at-home order when a live stream from the church showed the building packed. Howard Brown was charged with unlawful assembly in violation of public health emergency rules. Both second and third misdemeanors punishable up to 60 days in jail. On Friday, May 15th, the criminal misdemeanor charges against Brown were dropped, with the notice of termination saying in part, having reviewed the charges obtained in the criminal report affidavit and or notice to appear, the state's attorney office informs you that the charges contained therein are dismissed and prosecution is terminated as of this date, and the defendant need not appear for any further proceedings. As a result of this arrest, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declared attendance at churches, synagogues, and houses of worship to be essential activity. This arrest freed up every church in Florida to meet. So, they make a hero out of Rodney Howard Brown. Which, I mean, if you want to fight for that, you can fight for the building. My contention is that you fight for meeting in the church meeting. But anyway, but nevertheless, Rodney Howard Brown was right. He was right. He was right about that. So, but notice the trend of the... Notice the trend, though. You know, he was right. He was right to meet. He was right to say that they didn't have any right to tell him he couldn't meet. All those things. Now, I think it was important to figure out where exactly all this stuff was going. And understanding it before you make any decisions. I think that's always wise. It's always wise to do that. So, here you have, let's see, I think it's here. Indianapolis mayor says churches are to remain closed this weekend. Now, does that not sound odd to you when you hear a governor say that churches are to remain closed? So the governor is ordering churches to remain closed. Is there anything that gives him the right to order churches to remain closed? Is there anything in the Constitution that gives him the right to order churches to remain closed? Is there anything in the Bible? I guess that's the first question to ask you. Does anybody believe that the Bible states that the government has a right to close churches? Anywhere in the scriptures? Okay, so let's turn it up a little bit here. I want you to listen to this video, because I have a problem here. Here's my problem, all right? Let me get the wide shot. Here's my problem here. My problem is when you have governors telling me not to, telling us not to meet as a church, stay away from your family, go hide in the corner somewhere, go stick your head in the sand, go breathe in a straw somewhere out of, and stick your head in the water and get some oxygen up, breathe out of a straw, go hide in a cave somewhere, go anywhere you can, but don't go in public, don't go around anybody, wear masks, cover yourself up, live in a bubble. I have a problem with people that do that. Here's why. Because of this. Here's my problem.
In my career, I've served as medical director of emergency rooms. I've been involved with ambulance services. I've been medical director of ski slopes. I know what it takes to do preventive things. And I'm not real big on being hypercritical. I'm pretty big on being skeptical. But I think it's time to say something about what's happened in Minnesota. Minnesota leads the nation in terms of having people in long-term care facilities lead the way regarding our COVID-19 deaths. More than 80% of the deaths from COVID-19 in Minnesota have involved people that live in long-term care facilities. And you know what? That could have been prevented. We've done a lot of different things that at times resemble whack-a-mole games to me, whether it means buying a $7 million facility to store human remains when we don't have any issue at all versus extending and extending and extending stay-at-home models. We've done a variety of things. We moved the goalposts after we said that we wanted to depress the peak and we wanted to push the surge downstream and we wanted to let our hospital facilities ramp up their capabilities so we wouldn't overwhelm our healthcare facilities. We've done all those things. But we never protected our seniors that were in nursing homes. We allowed staff to move from one facility to another without adequately testing them or quarantining them. We never should have allowed the transfer of COVID-19 ill patients from one facility to another or into a facility or even someone that potentially was infectious from one facility to another. But that happened. I have been getting phone calls where there has been patient traffic, patient admissions, patient transfers from one place to another. And this may well have, if you will, cultivated a climate in which we find ourselves. We could have done something about this, but we didn't. We will learn from this. But honestly, if you take out of our total COVID-19 deaths the people that have lived and died in long-term care facilities, our numbers are dramatically low. We've got counties that haven't had a COVID-19 death. But when it comes to taking care of our fragile elderly with numerous pre-existing diseases, comorbidities, when it came time to protecting them, to helping them quarantine and be safe, we failed. We'll do better next time, I hope. Thank you.
Okay. So, now, here's why I bring that up. You have people now telling you that you're supposed to follow the government because they're going to keep you safe. And you need to stay at home, because if you do, you're going to be safe. Stay quarantined and locked down. Listen, 84% of the deaths in Minnesota, long-term care facilities. So let's say you have 600 or 700 deaths, right? Almost 600 of them almost 600 of them are from long-term care facilities, excuse me. So, wait a minute. The people that told us they were going to lock our families up and keep them safe and all this other stuff, they're going to do that? They're going to keep loved ones safe? Right? That they are the ones that are infected and they are the ones that are dying. Think about that. If you take all those long-term care facilities out, deaths out, you have 100 deaths in all of Minnesota from COVID-19. Now, with that 100, let's take that number, right? Let's take that number, right? Let's see, hang on. Hang on a second, let me do this. All right, let's take that number of, let's say, 100. Let me see if I can find the exact number here for you. Or, you know, we know the numbers aren't accurate, so I can't give you exact numbers because they're a bunch of liars. They don't give you exact numbers. So let's see. Here we go. Okay. Let's go to Minnesota. Here we go. Okay. So 731 deaths. Okay. 731 deaths. All right. So we take 731 deaths. Times 84%, right? Let's see. Oops, yeah. So you're talking about 700 people, or 600 people, a little over 600 people. All right. Most of the people that you have that have COVID-19 are in these care facilities. 600 of them were going to die pretty much at some point. They're very old. So now think about that. Now let's take the other 130, let's say 110 deaths. Take the 110 deaths in Minnesota that wouldn't have happened. The other ones wouldn't have happened. Now, how many of those are false numbers? How many of those people that died of COVID-19 or were supposed to have died of COVID-19 in the nursing homes, how many of those actually died of that? Specifically, that's what they died of. Then you start to see that something doesn't add up. That you shut an entire state down for this, which you really didn't, because you left 80% of the workers still working in the workforce. And also, why does everybody think that just because someone has a COVID-19 test that comes back positive, that they're going to die? That they're going to automatically die? Think about that. Why does that mean that they're going to automatically die just because they have those numbers? Here's another one. Published one day ago.
Cough. Colorado's Jared Polis was one of the first governors to shut down his state, but also among the first to reopen. Before serving as governor, he founded schools for at-risk students and served as chair of the state board of education. And Governor Polis joins us now from Denver. Governor, you said a week ago Friday that you expect schools in your state to reopen in-class education this fall. Why are you so confident about that?
I'm really confident that it's a critical part of our society, and schools need to function. They are going to function. It's also going to be somewhat of a hybrid environment, meaning there might be times during the year, if there's an outbreak at a school, that it has to convert to online for a period of weeks until it's reasonably safe to return to school. But by and large, I think across our state and across our nation, kids are going to be able to return to school in the fall. It's just not going to look like any other school year.
I want to pick up on that, because you say that school, even if, you know, without the question of having to go back online if there were an outbreak, is going to look different, that lunch may look different, that going from one class to another in the hallway will look different, that there might be staggered start times.
Those are exactly some of the things that are being looked at. So we call it passing time, when all the kids are in the hallway, lunchtime. The districts are working with our state, I know, and across the country, on schedules that have less interactions, that can slow the spread in when there's an inevitable outbreak. It's also likely, Chris, and this isn't a bad thing, it's a fine thing, you know, maybe 10-20% of parents aren't going to want their kids to return to school in the fall. They're going to want to continue online. That actually is fine as long as those parents are there with those kids. They don't have to leave to go to work. In addition, it means there can be less crowding at the schools because of those individual choices that some parents make to continue with online until it's even safer.
As we said, you have quite a resume in education even before you became governor. How seriously do you think students will be set back in their education by the fact that at the very least they're going to have been out of the classroom from March until August, and in some places conceivably longer than that? How much do you think that sets them back in basic math and reading skills?
There's really no excuses in the business of education. I made that very clear to our superintendents. I hope other governors across the nation are doing that. We've moved to online. Kids can learn as well as better as online. In fact, there's been a few percent of kids in online schools before this crisis. Now, you need that social side, right? And it's a little bit harder to get that social side in an online setting. But academically, there are no excuses for...
You got to have that social stuff. Yeah, whatever. My kids are way more socialized than those public school kids are. Those public school kids can't even do anything but look at a phone the whole time. They don't talk to you. They don't look in your eye. And they don't have a conversation with you. It's just a joke is what it is, right? But even a Democrat governor there in Colorado is saying, look, we could go back to school. By the way, let me ask you a question. Okay, let me ask you a question. Right? Think about it this way. Why in the world tell me this, why in the world I'm gonna change this to phony COVID-19 info and phony numbers. So sick of that. Why in the world would children not be able to go to school? Since when do children, has COVID-19 even been a problem for children anyway? When has it been a problem for them? Right? When was, I thought they said that, that most, most COVID-19 symptoms and deaths and all that stuff is all older people. In Minnesota, it's 84-year-old people. People in their 80s. Right? But I'll tell you, it isn't about that. It's not about that. What it's about what it's about is control. This is all about control. I don't know. When I was running around here, I didn't see anybody that was really that. Most of the children aren't even afraid of it. That might be their thought about it, but they can't even prove it. They can't even prove it. And when you look at the number of deaths and everything else, they didn't really do anything. They didn't accomplish anything. All it is fear-mongering. Everything is a symptom of COVID now. Everything. Everything becomes a symptom of COVID. And one of the reasons why these people aren't as easily able to get away with what they're doing now with these numbers is because people are starting to find out that this is not accurate, that their numbering system is a joke. The number of deaths in Minnesota related to COVID all stem around nursing homes. You tell me how that's even possible. How is that even possible? That you're supposed to be isolating everybody, yet all this is still happening. And what about the 80% of people that are working in the workforce? How come the 80% of people that are working in the workforce in Minnesota, there's no great number of deaths? I'm just tired of the whole scam of it. It's just like a scam. Everything's a symptom of COVID-19. Now, they have all these symptoms of COVID-19, and everything is. Everything's a symptom. They keep adding more symptoms. Right? They keep adding more. As time goes by, their list grows. Let's see what the list is now. Let's see. Let's see what they say. Which, by the way, pretty much any of these could be the flu. I mean, cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, fever, chills, muscle pain, sore throat, new loss of taste or smell. Look for emergency warning signs of COVID-19. If someone is showing any of these signs, seek emergency medical care immediately. Trouble breathing, persistent pain or pressure in the chest, new confusion. Inability to wake or stay awake. Bluish lips or face. I've never seen anybody with a blue face. Wait, yes I have. Yes, I have. I guess I have. These have blue faces. Smurfs. They have blue faces. Right? So now all, if you see Smurfs running around, they all have COVID-19. Let's see, how about, Okay, so here's all the ways it can be. Here's all the ways that it can be spread. Person-to-person transmission. Okay. Droplets. When an infected person coughs, sneezes, or talks, droplets with the virus fly into the air from their nose or mouth. Anyone who is within 6 feet of that person can breathe those droplets into their lungs. Aerosolized transmission research shows that virus can live in the air for up to 3 hours. Right? Aerosolized transmission. Surface transmission, another way to catch the new coronavirus is when you touch surfaces that someone who has the virus has coughed on or sneezed on. You may touch a countertop or a doorknob that is contaminated. Then you touch your nose, your mouth, your eyes. I just touched my nose! It can live on plastic or stainless steel for 2 to 3 days. Fecola. Fecal oral. Studies also suggest that virus particles can be found in infected people's poop. But experts aren't sure whether the infection can be spread through contact with the person's infected stool. Sometimes a person can trace how they got the virus because they know that they've been in contact with someone who's had it. A few pets have tested positive for COVID-19. So stupid. So, all these different ways that you can get COVID-19. Don't share anything with anybody. It's going to live for like 4 days on the counter. Right? They got a vaccine for it. By the way, does anybody know, has the flu vaccine helped anybody? Just curious. Does the flu vaccine help anybody? Because that's what they... That's what they push. But who's it helping? Oh, can I show you the creepiest video ever? Let me show you this video. This is the mayor of Northfield here. And I'm sorry. I don't buy the garbage. I don't buy the garbage that I gotta go hide somewhere because of this.
Good afternoon. I'm Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell. Did you know symptoms of COVID-19 can be similar to other viruses?
Why does this sound like a computer? It really creeps me out. I'm not trying to be mean to the mayor. I'm really not. Okay? It's just weird. Okay? It's weird. It's just beyond weird to me. It sounds like something from 1984. It just does. And I've never even seen it. I've just heard stories about it. Or They Live, or what was that one show that they did? What was that one show? Soylent Green as People. Okay, you ready? Here we go.
viruses like the flu? According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, patients with confirmed COVID-19 have had mild to severe respiratory illness with symptoms of cough and shortness of breath. Additional symptoms of COVID-19 can include fever, chills, headache, muscle pain, sore throat, or loss of taste or smell. Not everyone with COVID-19 has all of these symptoms, and some people may not have any symptoms. Symptoms may appear 2 to 14 days after you are exposed to the virus that causes COVID-19. If you have symptoms of COVID-19, you should stay home, wash your hands often, cover your coughs and sneezes, avoid sharing personal household items like dishes, towels, and bedding.
Yeah, because I'm going to be in my house with my family, and I'm not going to have anything to do with any of them. I'm just going to, like, sit there by myself, away from everybody, and I'm not going to share anything. Like, okay, so where am I supposed to go? I'm sorry, just don't buy this stuff. You know, you can do the same thing if you don't want to give somebody the flu. It sounds like a scary recording.
And clean surfaces that you touch often. If your illness is getting worse or you notice any of these emergency warning signs, call your healthcare provider right away. Emergency warning signs can include trouble breathing, ongoing pain or pressure in the chest, new confusion or not being able to wake up, and bluish lips or face. COVID-19 testing sites all over Minnesota are accepting symptomatic patients right now. If you have questions, I encourage you to call the Rice County Public Health Information Hotline at 507-384-6459. Our local testing site is the Northfield Hospital and Clinic. Their number is 507-646-1494. Patients are scheduled by appointment Monday through Friday. As always, call your healthcare provider if you are in need of medical advice or log on to the Minnesota Department of Health website at health.state.mn.us. Thank you.
I don't know what it is, but it just creeps me out. I don't know why it does, but it literally almost makes my head want to, like, I mean, like I'm being programmed or something. It's really weird. It's really strange. Okay, so anyway, yeah. There you go. So there's the propaganda piece for the day. You know, I was looking, let me see if I can find it. Let me see if I can find it. I think it was right here, maybe. Let's see. Oh, that should be exciting. Watch the 2020 State of the City address. Oh, I bet you that'd be great. I mean, that next to Gargling Glass, that would be almost as interesting. Okay, like, check this out. This is from the Chamber of Commerce. With beautiful weather and some of the downtown stores opening up this week, let's make sure while we shop and gawk, we don't flock. Remember to keep your distance, be respectful of others, and abide by the business protocols. We are all in this together and want to make sure Northfield stands strong while supporting our local businesses and downtown beauty in a fun and yet safe manner. Does anybody sound like that reads from some psychotic manual from some overlord somewhere? It's just crazy, man. Stronger together. Wow. Yeah, I bet. Child and teen checkups. Need a well child check? Call your local provider or Rice County Public Health to help schedule. No thanks. Everybody's got AIDS. We can't see you. Everybody's scared. Everybody's got AIDS. Nobody can see you. Sorry. Everybody's got to stay away from you. Nobody can go to the doctor. Nobody can go to the hospital. Sorry about your wellness check. Oh, COVID. Oh, COVID. Everybody's sick. Can't do that. Sorry. Not going to work. Nobody can do that. Sorry. I mean, it's gotten rather weird. Hasn't it? So, you've got a bunch of numbers that don't add up, yet you shut the entire... You shut the entire state down for this nonsense. So that's just locally where I'm at, right? Oh, I know what I want to show you. I know exactly what I want to show you. I find this interesting. Let's see here. Hang on a second. Let me find this. I'm going to look for something here.
My life I give.
Okay, so check this out. I thought this was rather interesting. We're talking about Antichrist orders and all this stuff. Pastors might need to make changes to sermon lengths after lockdown ends. Wait, what? Why would that be? Attending church from home brings with its own set of problems, including people constantly looking at the time in the corner of the tablet or computer they're watching the worship service on. And as it turns out, pastors and the people filling the pews, or these days joining the Facebook live chat, have very different perspectives on just how long sermons last. According to recently released data from Lifeway Research. Most Protestant pastors, 54%, think their sermons last between 20 and 30 minutes. And 85% said they are confident they don't go over 40 minutes. Only 14 believe their messages run longer than 40 minutes. But among those who attend Protestant churches, 32% think their pastor's sermons are circling an hour in length. Well, mine are definitely an hour. Despite the fact the vast majority of Protestant preachers believe their sermons are under 40 minutes, only 66% of Protestant attendees felt the same way. As churches restart in-person worship services and other church activities, many are calling for churches to refocus on the essentials. Prior to the pandemic, that would have meant shorter sermons for some churchgoers. Pastors and preachers are definitely not always on the same page when it comes to how long the Sunday morning service lasts. Some sermons feel like they are longer than the pastor estimates, McConnell explained. Churchgoers report sermons over 40 minutes in both small and large churches, but that could be related to different definitions of what elements of the church service are included in the sermon. For example, pastors may give announcements, do a scripture reading, conduct an altar call surrounding the sermon, which may lead to congregants feeling as if their message itself is longer. Right? So, here we go, kids. Caucasian pastors are far more likely to say their sermons are under 20 minutes. What? Man, what you talking about? Are you saying because I'm white, my sermon's only 20 minutes? Are you kidding me? Not this white guy. Not this white guy. Not this white guy. Caucasian pastors are far more likely to say their sermons are under 20 minutes, while African-American ministers are more willing to admit their messages run longer than 40 minutes in length. Are you saying white people are liars? Are you saying white people are liars? What's up with that? Come on, Joe McDonald. And interestingly, there's a direct correlation between the amount of education a pastor has and how long his or her sermon lasts. Uh-oh. Preachers with a master's, 42%, or doctoral, 34% degree, are more likely to deliver a 20-minute message compared to those with less education, 10%. Those with a bachelor's degree or no college education are 24% more likely to preach for at least 40 minutes than those who have obtained advanced degrees. So basically what they're saying is that white people or people that are educated preach for at least are uneducated. No college degree preach longer than those who obtained advanced degrees. Well, that's probably true, because I wasn't dumb enough to listen to some college tell me how to preach.
Hey.
Or take anything from them. And so here's the thing. Does COVID-19, is that supposed to change? Is that supposed to change our preaching now? I didn't quit preaching shorter with COVID-19. In fact, I didn't really listen to anything they had to say. I didn't listen to what the government really had to say. I just improvised and did things a little bit differently. And I don't intend to comply with what the government says. Nor have I ever been concerned with the length of sermon and asked the people, well, what do you think? You think I ought to preach a shorter sermon? Let's look at some scripture here, huh? It says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what you figure out? You figure out that most of these people that are going to... Okay, let's ask a question. I'm going to ask you a question, then I'm going to go to that song. And I know this title and this whole broadcast today is all over the place, but that's okay. We can do that sometimes. But I want you to think about that for a second, okay? I want you to think about this for a second and ask you a question about modern day churches. How many people do you think actually logged in? How many people do you actually think logged into their church services or even watched their preaching and teaching when they weren't at church? How many do you think probably didn't even pay attention or didn't even listen or didn't even log in?
And when someday in heaven above I see His dear face, may I then be counted faithful as a runner in this race. But now I'm trusting in the Savior to show me the way. In His righteousness He guides me as I seek to please Him.
You actually think, yeah, 20% of that, maybe? Okay, I want to ask you a question. And this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with the Lord. This has to do with what God does. When church models are simple, when church models are simple, okay, then you really don't have to worry about a lot of things that you do after when you have million-dollar buildings, when you have complicated programs, when you have children's church, right? Right? You don't have to worry. When you have a simple model, right? When you have a simple model, guess what happens? When you have a simple model and you go and things happen, you're able to move with that. But these churches that are so fixed, they're so fixed on what they have to do. They're so fixed on their buildings and their programs. So they go online and they do the goofiest programs for kids. And I'm like, I bet you those kids aren't even watching that. I bet you they're watching like cartoons or something else on Sunday. I bet you they're not even watching that. I bet you they're not even watching those things. Right? Probably not even watching it. How many of these churches had to apply for, let's see, hang on, let me show you this. How many of these churches had to apply for assistance from the government? I want to show you something here. Okay? Look at this. kids do think it's stupid. Look, if I didn't want to insult my family members, because I have some out there that are in-laws, that are in-laws or outlaws or whatever you want to call them, I would show you the goofy programs they do. But I don't want to be mean. I want to be a nice guy, so I won't show you. But churches have virtual Easter egg hunts. Right? I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, my kids look at it like, that's pretty stupid. But my kids go to a church every week where they hear men preach the Word of God. I mean, they play around with kids and all that kind of stuff. But they don't think those games are church, right? Look at this, though. How many of these churches do you think are worried about money? Churches that receive small loans. It says churches receive good news on PPP loans. Churches that receive small loans as part of coronavirus COVID-19 relief program learned Wednesday, May 13th, they will not face the risk of federal government challenge to their certification of loans necessity. Of course they won't, because the government wants them borrowing money. They want them to depend on them. They want them to. You know how many of these churches, are borrowing money? $36 million Americans have filed for unemployment, right? These churches have sought this Paycheck Protection Program. Right? They've sought this payment protection program from the government to help fund their staff. Why? Because they have a complex business model. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You ready? Here's the question. How much money do you think we ask the government for our staff here? How much payroll do you think we needed? How much were we concerned about our offerings dipping? And how much in need were we during this time? Let me ask you that question. Okay? Let's see if you can answer that question for me. I'll give you a second to give a response. Okay, we have had, of course, zero money from the government. We want zero money from the government. We don't want them. Neither do I want them to tell me what to do and where to meet, or the fact that I can. When you allowed 84% of the people that have died in this state, you've allowed them to die in nursing homes that you governed. But you're going to tell me that we can't meet at a church somewhere, and I got to trust you? Yeah, right. What do you think, I'm smoking crack or something? I'm watching their programs and what they did, and what they did was jeopardize people's lives. Listen, we didn't get any money from the government. We didn't ask any money from the government. Why? Well, number one, you have to have a staff to ask for money. You have to have a payroll. We don't have a payroll here. We don't have a payroll here. You say, aren't you on the payroll? No, I'm not on the payroll. You know what I want the government to do? Leave us alone. That's what I want them to do. We don't have a payroll here. So guess what? We don't get no money. We don't want no money from them. We don't have a payroll here. So we don't have to hire anybody. We don't have any, we don't get any loans from them, and we don't do any of that, okay? Second of all, during all the commotion and all the stuff that's going on, our offerings haven't seen any difference. If anything, they've went up. If anything, they've went up during this time. Giving overall has went up during this time, not down. I'm not on the payroll either, because Old Pass, do you want to know something? Let me tell you something. I was going to refinance my house, right? The government changed the law, the financing regulations in March. So because I'm not part of a corporation, and because I don't get a payroll from a corporation, and because I don't get a guaranteed salary from a corporation, and because I live off gifts and what God provides through the giving of his people, they told me I couldn't refinance my house. I have an 820 credit score. I have an 820 credit score. I have no late payments. I've never been late on my mortgage payment. I've never been late on my car payments or any of those other payments for probably 18 years of my life, or however long I've been saved, or near that anyway. And they told me, we can't help you. We can't give you a loan. Why? Because you don't have a payroll. You don't have any of that. So we can't give you. We can't do that. We can't give you another loan. We can't refinance your loan for you. Oh, okay. So you know what the guy tried to tell me? A loan officer tried to tell me, well, if you'll just say your money comes from Old Paths Baptist Church, you know, and it's a corporation, you know, if it comes from there and they give you a payroll thing and you put it down there, then you'll be able to do it. Well, it doesn't come from Old Paths Baptist Church, because Old Paths Baptist Church legally does not exist. So it can't come from there. Right? So they're like, yeah, we can't help you. Yeah, but I've never missed any payments. Yeah, but you don't have a salary. You don't get paid a salary you don't get paid a salary from a, you know, a corporation or payroll, or it's not even self-employed income because it's gifts, so we don't even count it. So, by the way, that was the IRS telling me. Right? That's the government, not the IRS. The government telling me that, oh, gifts aren't taxable. Right? I'm not complaining. I'm well taken care of. God takes care of me. But today you have a system where pastors are like, well, you know, you got to have the payroll, you got to have insurance, you got to have benefits, you got to have all these other things. Well, I don't have any of those things. So if the money doesn't come in, I don't know what it's going to be from 1 week to the next, from 1 month to the next, from 1 year to the next. Right? I don't have a clue. But do I worry about it? No, because God provides for me. And do I preach tithing every week really hard and lean on people and really stick them and all that stuff and push them and prod them? No. Our church, the people are giving. If one of ours is in need, we take care of them. We help them. Because it's scriptural. That's what God said. But we don't have big buildings and we don't have big payrolls and we don't have staff. You know why we don't have a staff here? Because we don't need one. I don't see one in the Bible. It's called a simple church model. That's what it is. That's what it's supposed to be, and that's what God intended it to be. Right? That's the way the Lord intended it to be. You don't see the big corporate church structures in the Bible. I don't care where a church meets, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about that. There's nothing wrong with having a building to meet in or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. We have one here. I'm doing it right now. I mean, it's a rental place. But it's simple. Right? And by the way, you folks online too, I appreciate you. I really do. Whether you can give or not, that's not the point. I appreciate you. You folks have been just as faithful. I would say you folks online have been more faithful during this COVID-19 than before. I would say that. In giving and helping the ministry. Right? I would say that you've been more faithful in that sense. You've showed yourself to be more faithful. So, you know, I haven't noticed anything, any bit of a drop in anything like that. But I think if you keep things simple, that's the way God intended it to be. God laid out the simple plans, simple giving and simple things. And it wasn't like all this staff of people, of professionals. A lot of it is just... It's supposed to be, you know who the staff is at Old Paths Baptist Church? All the members. And it's their ministry and they serve the Lord. Whether it's ladies that take care of food and all that other stuff and serve the food and do all those other things. And whether it's the men that have different ministries, some do tracting ministries. And they give towards the ministry, they give towards that, they give towards the use of the ministry and all the to print tracts and to do all those other things. Whatever it is, they do all those things. We don't have like professional ministry people like that. It's just to where you have to borrow money in order to do that. So for them, they call it good news. I call it bad news to be borrowing money like that from the government or have the government give you money like that. See, that's not what I was looking for. There was one other one. guess it's not up there. I want to show you something else that I thought was kind of interesting concerning churches and COVID-19 and all this other stuff. I think this has to do more with, you know, I know this is over in Jerusalem or the Jerusalem Post, but I think it's interesting, and I could see them trying to use this in America as well. Ladies would bring food, you know, crock pots and all that stuff, and the guys grill out. That's how we've done it. All the guys use the grills. So, look at this. I want to show you something. As Israelis are notoriously loud, it is perhaps in their own interest to continue wearing masks to stop the spread of the virus and lower the curve, they say. So look what they're saying here. They're saying that tiny particles escaping from a person's mouth when they speak loudly, which may contain the coronavirus, can stay in the air from 8 up to 14 minutes. So what are they saying? Well, now, you know, preaching in the open air, that's, I wonder if that's going to be dangerous now, right? Oh, you guys can't yell in public now, right? Those same droplets can stay in the air for over 8 minutes. Uh-oh. Is that a way to tell people that they can't speak in public and all those other things? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? YouTube bans John Piper's audiobook. I don't like John Piper, but it says here, YouTube has censored the audiobook version of Reformed theologian John Piper's new book, The Coronavirus in Christ, claiming it violated community standards. The book offers... What happened here? Oh, thanks. The book offers 6 biblical answers to the question, what is God doing through the coronavirus? The video has been removed for violating YouTube's guidelines. The video got over 187,000 views with roughly 5 weeks that it remained on the platform. It was released on April 8th and blocked last Friday. An archived version of the audiobook is still available here on Crossway Podcast. The censorship came amid a call up by 22 military chaplains to discipline and possibly court-martial a senior Army chaplain. For sending nearly 36 other chaplains an email containing a copy of the ebook Coronavirus in Christ. The 22 military chaplains, some of whom are from LGBT community, had a problem with the book because it says that some people will be infected with the coronavirus as a specific judgment from God because of their sinful attitudes and actions. Wow. Wait, so these military chaplains from the LGBTQ community, military chaplains, which advocate for a strict separation of church and state with the U.S. military, urged Secretary of Defense Mark Esper to punish senior chaplain Colonel Moon H. Kim, the command chaplain of the Army Garrison Humphrey in South Korea, the largest U.S. military installation outside the United States. Wow. In section titled Examples of Specific Judgments on Specific Sins, Piper wrote that one example is the sin of homosexual intercourse. Well, he's right. The due penalty, its painful effect in themselves of their sin. This due penalty is just one example of the judgment of God. So he's right. There's judgment of God there on that, right? So he tries to say... he puts this out here. Again, I don't agree with Piper on everything, but he did say what he said. So, I mean, he stood up for what was right there. In that sense. But what happened? They banned it. Why? Because they're Antichrist. They're absolutely Antichrist. Governors telling people they can't meet. What is that? Antichrist. I mean, it's all Antichrist. That's what it is. You can't really call it anything else. Right? What does the Bible say about it? First John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. This world is antichrist. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The Bible talks about the spirit of the world. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What is the spirit of the world? The spirit of the world is set on the course of the world. And you at the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you and I understand there's a spirit out there, and it wars against the spirit of Christ. It wars against the spirit of Christ. That's what it does. There's a war that rages, and it rages on against the Spirit of Christ. It is Antichrist. There's a war. Wherein in times past you walked according. It was where you used to be. That's why you see things now differently than you used to see them. You don't see things the same way anymore as you used to. You see them differently now. Why is that? Right? Among whom you also we had our conversation times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were by nature the children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the work of the Spirit. See, the course of this world, they have to oppose the churches. They have to. Why? Because they're set on the course of nature. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on the fires of hell. That's where they're at. They can't help it. They're set on it. That's their course. That's where they're headed. That's where they're headed. They're headed for it. Look what the Bible says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. See, yes, the world is waxing worse and worse. But here's the thing. The closer you get to the Lord, the more you understand what this world is. The more you understand that it's set on the fires of hell. The more you understand that this world has a course. And that God took you off the course that you were on. And he put you on a different one. When he saved your soul, he rerouted you. Right? He rerouted you. You know where he rerouted you to? To the straight gate. To the narrow way. Because straight is the gate. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. See, you were rerouted. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the wicket gate. Remember John, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. See, the whole world is on that course. They're in the wide gate. They're on the wide gate. But the gate we're on is a straight gate. The gate we went into is a straight gate and a narrow way. Right? It's the narrow way. You know, it just doesn't get along with the course of this world, does it? It just doesn't get along with the course of this world. You ever realize that? That no matter what you do, you just can't agree with the world. You, you can't follow them. You can't follow their pernicious ways. You've been taken off of that route, and you have no desire to go back on it. You see that wide road that leads to destruction, and you're like, I don't want to be there. I've been delivered from that. I don't like where they're going. I don't want to be on the road that they're on. I don't want what the world wants. I don't want to live what the world lives. I don't want to go where the world goes. I know they're headed for the city of destruction. I don't want anything to do with it. Right? I don't want to be a part of that. So all the wickedness of this world, all of the things that are going on in it, all of the Antichrist attitudes that are out there and actions that are out there, you're like, no, I don't want your sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I don't want your filthy movies. I don't want your filthy speech. I don't want to drink your filthy liquor. I don't want any of that. God took that out of me. I don't want that. God takes the love of the world out of you, and he weans you from the love of the world. Right? He takes it out of you, and you don't want it anymore. You don't really want anything to do with it any longer. Except to witness and to warn them that they're headed for hell. And that you know the road and the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus took you off that road. He turned you. He put you on the narrow way. Amen. And praise his name for it. He deserves all the honor and glory. Amen. For giving his life a sacrifice. For giving his life a sacrifice for our sins. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day. That's the gospel we preach. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for the death, burial, and resurrection that he has reconciled us to God. Who became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amen. So, all right. Well, that's about it. I know I was all over the board today with a ton of stuff, but that's okay. We should be back with Brother Ickes, I think, for our last broadcast for a while because he goes back to work. So, if you have any questions, Bible questions that you wanted answers for, okay, don't forget to email me at PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Don't forget to email me, okay, any questions that you might have so we can be prepared, him and I, on Wednesday to answer some of those. Any scriptures you might have questions for and things of that nature, anything like that, don't be afraid to ask. I'm going to get out of here because I got to go celebrate my daughter's birthday. And I got to pick her up and take her for a ride and all that good stuff. So I got to get going. But, you know, have a good night, all of you. Take care of yourselves. And we'll be back on Wednesday. And we'll be back, Lord willing, on Friday as well. So you pray for us as we continue to serve the Lord and be faithful to God. Good. I'm looking forward to some of those questions. Just go ahead and send them to me. Or you can message me if you're friends with me on Facebook or Google Hangouts or something like that. You can message me there too as well. Anyway, hope you all have a good night. Take care of yourselves. Be praying one for another. And we'll talk to you all very soon.